So very thankful to the Lord for his presence here this morning. Very thankful for the good, humble prayer and the wonderful preaching that's gone on before. So thankful for the love and the hospitality of this church. Certainly, we felt the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. And we have great respect for your pastor. And we've so much enjoyed the hospitality of their home and with Sister Lydia and Evelyn and Sadie. It's such a blessing to see little children in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that get such joy and such pleasure out of serving others. I could barely drink a sip or two of water last night without Sadie or Evelyn saying, "Can I get you some more?" But what a blessing it is to see that love that flows from breast to breast, and we're so thankful for the love that's in this place and for your service unto the Lord. Brother Chris, as you were preaching, my mind was all over the place. Based on things, I was wondering what the Lord might would have me to preach on. And I want to continue some in the Song of Solomon and try to cover some verses that he did not go to. But what a beautiful portrait that Brother Chris has laid out for us with the beautiful and the greatest love story there's ever been in the history of the world. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, our husband, and we, the church, as his bride. You know, the first time in the Bible that the word love is mentioned in the connotation of a husband and a wife is at the end of Genesis chapter 24, where Isaac and Rebekah have come together, and the Bible said he takes her to his mother's tent. And they dwell there together. And the Bible said he loved her. In that story, Isaac as the husband is a beautiful picture of our Lord. And Rebekah as the bride is a beautiful picture of us. That portrait is painted in various ways throughout the scripture. And what a beautiful picture it is. In Song of Solomon chapter 1, the bride of the Lord Jesus, the bride here of Solomon, would ask the question in verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Here the bride said, I love you above all else. Thou whom my soul loveth. Tell me where thou feedest. O thou beautiful husband, I want to know where you feed. I want to know where you are. Tell me where thou feedest, whether thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. You know, not only are we called the bride of Christ in Scripture, we're also called the sheep of God. And this bride of Christ says, I want to be where your sheep are. I want to be where you feed. I want to be at rest. You know, for a sheep to rest, a few things have to happen. They have to be free of fear. You know, we serve a Lord that can take all of our fears away. For a sheep to be able to lie down and to truly rest, a sheep can't be hungry. A sheep must be fed. We serve a Lord that feeds us. For a sheep to lie down, there can't be any friction in the flock. You know, we're just old sinners in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes because of that, friction can come up. But we serve a Lord that can get rid of the friction. We serve a Lord that because of what all he has forgiven us, we're able to forgive one another and the friction can go away. For a sheep to lie down, he can't be being tormented by little pests. One of the things that would plague a sheep would be the nose flies that would bother a sheep, and they would get into the sheep's nostrils and would so torment them that they would beat their head against very hard objects and sometimes would even kill themselves trying to get rid of the nose flies. That's one of the reasons the good shepherd would anoint the sheep's head with oil, was to get rid of the nose flies. We see David writing about that in Psalms 23. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. She asks, where do you feed? Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon? We have rest when we're with our husband. We have rest when we're with our shepherd. We want to be where he is. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And here's the answer from the husband, who's also the shepherd. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women. Brother Chris has already preached to us about how much our husband looks at our beauty, the beauty of his bride. It's not a beauty that we've always had, but it's a beauty that he gave unto us. He's given us the garments of salvation. He's given us of his own righteousness. And though we were ugly and dirty and dingy, our Lord, our Savior, our husband has made us to be beautiful and glorious, without spot, without blemish. What Brother Chris read to us, there is no spot in thee. What a blessing. He said, O thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids by the shepherd's tents. What a blessing that we as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ are a multitude of the family of God that have been blessed to see the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And we can go forth, not alone, but we can go forth by the footsteps of the flock. We can be with our Savior and our Lord and be with the other sheep of God in a wonderful place. I want to go over a couple of chapters there in the Song of Solomon, to Solomon chapter 4 and verse 12. Where he would say, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Now the bride that our husband, the Lord Jesus, so much loves, he said, you're a garden, and you're a garden enclosed, my sister, my spouse. A garden enclosed is kind of a secret garden. It's a garden that this world does not see. But you, little child of God, you bride of Christ, you've been blessed to be in this garden. You, the Lord says, you are the garden. Enclosed is my sister, my spouse. I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus told the disciples. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. We've been blessed to be in this garden that the world does not see. I love what the Lord Jesus would say in the book of Matthew. He said, the kingdom of God is like unto a treasure hid in a field, to which when a man hath found, he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth that field. The treasure that this man found is so precious to him, it's so glorious to him, that he said, it's worth all that I've got to buy the field. We've been blessed to have that in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in the place where we go by the footsteps of the flock, where we're blessed to be with our Savior and our Lord, where he feedeth the flock by the shepherd's tents, to be in this garden enclosed. My sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. You know, gardens are talked about a lot in the Bible. Adam was put in a garden to dress it and to keep it. Can you imagine how beautiful the Garden of Eden must have been? When the Lord created this world, he said, it's good and very good. When the Lord Jesus crossed over the brook Cedron to go into the Gethsemane, he said there was a garden there. Later in the book of John, he said where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb. There was a garden where he was crucified. There's a garden where he's resurrected from the dead on the third day in power, in great glory. There's a garden. I love the scene where Mary comes to the tomb and her soul is aching. And she sees a man supposing him to be the gardener and said, "Tell me where you've taken my Lord. Tell me so that I may go." But she was really talking to the Lord Jesus, her husband, her shepherd, and her friend. And the Lord Jesus says, "Mary." And when the shepherd called the name of his little sheep, though she had thought he was the gardener there in the physical garden, she sees who he is, her Savior and her Lord. Can you imagine the joy that filled Mary's heart? For she was there now at the feet of her Savior and her Lord. Though she had seen him crucified, so she had seen him die upon the cross. Now he's alive. He's been raised from the dead the third day. And her heart is rejoicing. He said, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard, spikenard and saffron, and calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense and myrrh." What did the wise men bring to the young child Jesus? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. They came saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." And they come and they present those gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see some of these same things in the garden of the Lord, a place that flows with fruit, a place that the fruits are pleasant to the taste. We're blessed to be in that place in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon thy garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. The fruits of this garden are a blessing to others. We may have some loved ones that are not here today. We may have loved ones that are not in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, the fruits you're blessed to have here in the kingdom of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are a blessing to others in your life. You know, I'm a better probation officer. I'm a better co-worker. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better son. Because I've been blessed with the fruits that are in this precious garden. It helps us every day of our life. There's a request made, the end of verse 16, by the bride, "Let my beloved come into his garden." As beautiful as this garden is, as wondrous as the fruits are, as precious as the things are in this garden, said, "I want my beloved here more than anything else. I want him in the garden. I want him to be with us." She said, "Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." What's the answer? What's the answer of the husband? He tells us in the start of the next chapter, "I am come into my garden. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine and milk. Oh, friends,
drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. He said, I am come into my garden. And I'll tell you, the Lord is pleased with the fruits of his garden. You know, as a little child of God, as a soldier of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul would write unto the young preacher Timothy and say, your main job, Timothy, you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. And your main job, Timothy, is to please him who had chosen you to be a soldier. That's our job as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, as we come together in the house of God, as we come together into this glorious garden, and as we serve our Lord, and as the fruits of this garden flow forth, I'll tell you, our Lord is pleased, our husband is pleased, when he comes and he eats his pleasant fruits. He's pleased. We pleased him who's chosen us to be a soldier. We please him who's our shepherd. We please him who's our husband. How do we make it through this old world? You know, when the servant of Isaac there in Genesis 24 went to get Rebekah, when she was coming back with Abraham's servant to see a husband, going back to be with Isaac, a husband she's never seen. You know, our eyes, physical eyes, have never seen our husband. We've been blessed in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ through an eye of faith to be with him and to see glimpses of his glory. And what a blessing that is. But these physical eyes have never seen him. Peter would write of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing he rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. These eyes haven't seen him, but I'll tell you, yet believing and through an eye of faith, we rejoice in him with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rebekah had not seen him there. She's journeying with the servant of Abraham back to Isaac, her husband that she's never seen. And they journey for 500 miles. That's kind of like the road of this life. I don't know how long the road of this life is left for me. You don't know how long is left for you. But I'll tell you, whatever's left, there'll be hills and there'll be valleys. There'll be streams and there'll be rivers. But I'm going to tell you, the day comes at the end of Genesis 24. Isaac had already blessed Rebekah, his bride, with some wonderful gifts. He had given her gold jewelry, and the servant of God had given Rebekah, the bride of Isaac, pictured as the bride of Christ, some precious things. She had given him gold and bracelets and earrings and all kind of precious things. And I'll tell you, our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us some precious things in his church. Though our eyes have never seen him, we've been blessed with the riches of his glory and his bounty in the church of the Lord Jesus. And Rebekah comes with the servant of God, wearing many of the riches she had already received from her husband that her eyes had never seen. But the day comes when the journey's over. And Rebekah looks up. The Bible said Isaac's out in the field. Said he's meditating. That word can mean praying. And Isaac lifts up his eyes. And Rebekah lifts up her eyes. And for the first time physically, their eyes meet. And the husband she's been waiting through all that journey over hills and valleys to see, her eyes now see. I look forward to that day when we'll see our Savior, our husband, face to face, when he'll come back that second time without sin to salvation. We'll come with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we'll look up. Oh, us little Rebekahs. And our eyes will lock with the eyes of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says every eye shall see him. And though the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the invisible bride of Christ, is made up of a multitude, I believe each one of us will look at our Savior, our husband, face to face. Our eyes will like and seem. But you know, because he's not limited in power, he's not limited in glory, he'll be able to look at you directly at the same time he's looking at me. What a blessing. We'll see our Savior face to face. He'll take us home with him to be with him forever and ever in heaven in immortal glory. What a day that will be. You know, we've been blessed with so many riches of the Master and the treasure hidden in a field here. But I'll tell you, when we get to heaven and immortal glory, we'll have the abundance of everything without limit, without measure. We'll be there with our husband forever and ever and ever. And the greatest love story that's ever been will be consummated on that day. And Jesus will come and we'll be all gathered together and we'll go with him into heaven in one of the greatest victory marches there's ever been, because King Jesus, who won the great victory on the cross of Calvary, will lead us into heaven in a moment of glory. He'll look at the Father, say, "Behold, I am the children whom thou hast given me," and we'll be with him forever in heaven in a moment of glory. Till that time, enjoy the garden. Be in the garden where the pleasant fruits of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer flow. We need it. And look forward to that day when our little eyes of Rebecca will look up and see our Isaac face to face. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.